Receiving this message. We are Ken Jennings and John Roderick. We speak to you from our present, which we can only assume is your distant past, the turbulent time that was the early 21st century.
Fearing the great cataclysm that will surely befall our civilization, we began this monumental reference of strange and obscure human knowledge. These recordings represent our attempt to compile and preserve wonders and esoterica that would otherwise be lost.
So whether you're listening from an advanced civilization or have just reinvented the technology to decrypt our transmissions, this is our legacy to you.
This is our time capsule. This is the Omnibus.
You have accessed entry 1383.EC1208, certificate number 37808. Vanity plates.
Who would order a license plate that says ass man?
You like your car. You're not like a sports car guy, but you...
I'm not a car guy, but I like my EV.
Yeah.
It's fun to drive.
You've had a couple of cars since I've known you.
Yeah, both electric, I think.
Yeah.
People really do understate how fun they are to drive. They're zippy.
Cars are zippy. Yeah. I mean, not all cars. No. Some of them are real drags.
A lot of them suck.
Yeah. And this has been Omnibus. Episode, whichever.
I thought it'd be more about vanity plates, but I guess we, covered it pretty quickly.
But you notice, don't you, a lot of people use their car as one of their primary status symbols.
Americans, probably nobody else. Well, increasingly,
my friend.
I guess increasingly the moneyed peoples of Eurasia as well.
Well, if you think about the Germans, they have been and the British, right? They've been making a lot of hay out of cars as status symbols since very early on, right? The Bentley, Rolls-Royce scene and the Mercedes-Benz.
Maybe even more so in places where car ownership is not a, you know, a de rigueur part of middle-class life. You know, then your car has to be a luxury item because all cars are a luxury item.
Yeah, in the United States, this may astonish you. It certainly did me. 91% of all households have a car. There are 278 million vehicles in the United States.
Are you just doing the division that counts for some households that have two or three, or you're saying only 9% of American households don't have a car?
Only 9% of American households don't have a car. And those are mostly people that live in New York City.
Yeah.
I mean, there are, you know, Washington, D.C. There are a few metropolitan areas.
You can do it here, but it's not easy.
It would be hard unless you were a devoted bicycle rider.
Well, a lot of people do it in Belltown, Capitol Hill.
Oh, sure.
But you have to decide.
Sure.
This is my life now.
I mean, I lived in Seattle for 20 years and never had a car, but I was Mr. Walk Everywhere guy. And also, I really took to heart that Northwest thing of like, I don't use an umbrella or even a hat. I just wear.
Well, that one's correct.
I wear a lot of wool that smells like a sheep, and it worked for me. It worked for me for 2 decades, but you can't live in the suburbs without a car.
No, and you don't smell like a sheep anymore. So you must have started using a hat.
Oh, thank you. That's nice of you to say. I don't know if everybody would agree. In the U.S., unlike most places in the world, trucks are by far the largest type of motor vehicle. There are 168 million trucks, and I'm talking about pickup trucks on the road, not like semi trucks, but
sedan numbers are crazy. Like, yeah. It used to be like 80% of American car sales, and now it's like 9% of American cars.
Well, there are 100 million cars that aren't trucks, but the best-selling car in the US is the Ford F-150.
I'm just saying nobody's buying a car anymore. Oh, right. When you say, I'm going to go buy a car, what you mean is an SUV or a truck. Because who would want a car?
A car?
That's so crazy. Like, how could I put a Punisher skull on the front of it?
I mean, one problem with a car is you can't see over all the trucks.
Yeah, you're going to see the people you run over.
Yeah, you pull up to a stoplight and you're like, I can't see anything.
You got to be up high to compete.
But it's, you know, the F-150 is not a marvel of technology. It's not fuel efficient. It's not, doesn't handle well. It has nothing to recommend it, except it can kind of carry a piece of plywood.
And fully, what, 90-something percent of people who own one use the bed less than once a year? Have you seen these numbers?
Yeah, they don't put anything back there. What
are they called, air haulers or something?
Yeah, what, air hauler, that's good.
I think that's the trucking joke.
Yeah. I mean, you could put like a bunch of topsoil back there, but it's not like a F-150 is a dump truck.
If I did that, I would just leave a bunch of topsoil back there so it looked like I had a reason to own a truck.
Yeah, but
not just that I was some suburban douchebag.
I bet that's going to promote rust.
Hmm.
My daughter, at a fairly young age, because I drove that Suburban for years, she was like, I want you to get a pickup truck. And I said, why? She's like, they're cool. And I said, a pickup truck is cool?
Do you think?
What are you talking about?
Could you tell where that came from? What vector?
I quizzed her a bunch. I couldn't think of any of her friends that had whose parents had a pickup.
Maybe that's why. I kind of romanticized it when I was a kid.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, when we were kids, you could just bounce around in the back of your pickup, and that was what was fun.
Right. You threw two dogs back there and four kids. And
today, you'll, you know, immediately get arrested, and rightly so.
But she wanted one, you know, a king cab that had four doors.
Those are so dumb.
No, but then, and I know there are a lot of futurelings listening who are like, hey.
Hey, sorry about your terrible truck.
Hey, I have a Ford F-150 and it's a great car. You know, America is ahead of the curve, right? With mass
not
middle
usually.
Class.
What do you mean?
Oh, hey, well, we invented democracy. No, in terms of middle class car ownership, right? That. And until very recently, China, the country with the largest population, had
six cars.
Yeah, very small number of private vehicles. And a big part of the explosion of car ownership and arguably other environmental catastrophes are, you know, the enormous buying power of the Chinese middle class that didn't used to exist.
Why can't we go back to the good old days when only we had stuff? I felt like maybe I'm biased, but I thought that was working for me.
Yeah, well, that was back before China had its grape leaf forward, and burned all its forest in backyard smelters.
Is that like a Chinese guy, but he's just wearing a grape leaf over his junk? Very grape leaf forward.
Hey, it's a grape leaf, but forward.
This Greek restaurant is very grape leaf forward.
Cars have been used as status symbols from the invention of cars. And part of the problem with cars as status symbols is that the growth of extreme, enormous, obscene wealth has outpaced the degree to which an expensive car can adequately express your obscenity, right?
Like, and I guess we covered this in the Bugatti entry.
Exactly.
Because one reaction to that is just more and more exclusive, stupid cars.
I mean, the Bugatti Veyron and its successors is an extremely expensive auto, $3 million, and that doesn't even cost, it doesn't even, they sell them at a loss because it costs more to develop and manufacture than even that.
Give me an example of when you would say auto. Are you like, hey, I'll be in the auto?
I would not say that.
But you just said the Bugatti was an extremely expensive auto.
Right. I think I would not say.
You would use an auto to mean a kind of car, but not a specific car.
Well, you know, you say like, well, it's part of the automotive press. It's an auto meet.
I would say auto 0% of the time.
Wow. You'd say it was a car meet.
I mean, I might say auto shop for a class.
Yeah, or an auto.
I would even say car show instead of auto show, honestly. I say car correct instead of auto correct. Like, so do you never, I was just interested. I kind of want to be part of your new auto lifestyle.
I do say auto,
like you're talking to your Doberman.
Hello.
Otto,
come in
here.
Zwei. Mach schnell is what I would say to my Otto.
Okay.
But no, I do say, I do use auto. Well, it's sort of like This is a question that you see in the automotive world, which is, do you call it an engine or a motor?
Mm. I don't even know that. I always say engine. Which side am I on?
Well, engine versus motor is like like motors are electric and engines are
right.
Internal combustion.
I would say motor for like a lawnmower, but engine for a car. But I can't defend this.
But there are a lot of people that say motor for car engines as a kind of like right. sporting.
And they're buffs, yeah.
Yeah, like.
They're working on their autos.
They're working on their autos and they're talking about their car motors. It's
British. Don't you think it's British?
Malta. That's not how the British pronounce it.
Well, they used to say motor car, right?
Yeah, they did.
Like Mr. Toad's always.
Well, so did we, motor car.
What do you mean we, like Gen X? We did most certainly did not. Yeah. Hey, check it out. The Dukes of Hazzard have a new motor car.
No, I'm talking about America in the 1920s yeah, said motor car.
But I think the British would even say motor. Like that's what.
Let's motor somewhere.
Like P.G. Woodhouse characters are like, hey, he has a new motor. Let's motor out to his country home in his motor.
Well, I believe that Americans did that too until car. And when did car become? Probably post-war.
You still don't say it. You say auto.
Well, sometimes. Sometimes. Like I say motor sometimes. Like, oh, what kind of motors I have?
I always say motor boating. I never say I never say those two were engine, engine boating at the drive-in.
You mean when you go like on Mindy's tummy? I'm motor boating.
I don't think anybody wants to like imagine what you're doing there.
No, I would say like, you know, like what, show me your engine, but like what kind of motor?
Oh, interesting.
So it's a little bit of a.
Because I'm always like V6 engine.
V6 engine.
I never think of motor.
I think I would say
Stolen Valor if I did.
If somebody was showing me like their 68 Camaro, I would say, oh, it's got the 454 motor or whatever, but I wouldn't have that.
Look at that motor in his auto.
Yeah.
You're Mr. Burns, basically.
It's a safer frame. Where was I? You took me on the motor.
That was all my fault because I noticed you said auto, but I don't even remember how it came up, honestly.
I almost never don't know what we're talking about, but unfortunately, I'm
currently middle-class Chinese car ownership, but I think it's going to turn into vanity plates at some point.
Well, you know, in doing my notes, I did a thing that I never do, which is I took 2 pages worth of notes, but simultaneously. Usually if I do 2 pages, I do one and then I run out of space.
Were you writing in one with your left hand and one in with your right hand, like James Garfield?
Well, no, because one page I was like, well, I'm just going to write some statistics over here and I'm going to refer to it, but here are my show notes. And then I just started writing show notes on the statistics page. So I'm just like, well,
it was a left brain, right brain thing where you had narrative here and numbers here.
That's right.
I love this.
Yeah. I was like, oh no, I need two sheets, but now I got no idea. And that was a little motorboating.
Yeah, a little engine boating.
But typically, so in the United States, we have the disadvantage of having 50 states.
It sucks.
And a lot of countries have what they, you know, what they now describe as states within the country, but they're really, there's a strong federal government.
It's one country, one regulatory system. The states are for, geographic, historical accident, tourism reasons.
Right. They have their own flags.
They have different beers.
The Bavarians are still weird, and New South Wales is still a little weird. And also Newfoundland and Labrador are still a little weird. No offense.
You just said Newfoundland. They'd be so angry.
Did you Newfoundland.
Know, I get yelled at on Jeopardy for not saying Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
Because here's what I found out. All those people up there say their own provincial name wrong.
Yeah, Newfoundland.
Everyone in the English-speaking world has decided how to say Newfoundland, but no one told the Newfoundlanders.
Yeah.
So they're the only ones saying it wrong, and they're so far away, I guess no one's told them.
Well, there's a term for Newfoundlanders that's a slur that until very recently—
It's not a slur.
We all said it. But they get mad.
If you're affectionate, you can say it.
You can say it.
Yeah, I'm.
Go ahead.
I'm so down with the Newfoundland.
Oh, sure, you're totally in.
That I can say the N-word.
Go ahead, say it.
Newfie.
Oh! In most countries, there is a general sort of countrywide system, rules for registering cars. You know, registering cars was not the first thing anyone thought of, right? There were motor cars, motors or automobiles, for a little while before it was recognized that there should be
some legal apparatus.
Yeah, there was a necessity. I mean, the first sort of registration plates were in Europe. The first one in France.
It was probably number one.
That's right. Registration plate number one.
Or was it AAA000?
It's now worth $100 million because it's license plate number one. France and in 1893, Germany in 1896. And I mean, these are motor cars. Basically, they're wagons with
at the time, there would have been no regulation on, you wouldn't have had to put any kind of plates or license on your horse-drawn cart.
Yeah. Yeah, presumably no.
I think no, right?
No.
Yeah.
In America, the first license plates were in New York City in like 1901. And the only, what it was like put a sign on the back of your vehicle with your initials on it.
Really?
Yeah, so we know who you are.
I brake for Quigs.
Hey there, QS! Move over! Honk, honk. But very quickly after that, it was Massachusetts that was the first.
Of course,
yeah, I know, nanny state, the first U.S. state to actually have the state issue a license plate in 1903. And you know,
is this a revenue grab? Or I mean, I guess you quickly run across the problem of, well, we have all this new road infrastructure and problems. We're going to have to pay for it somehow. It should be the people who own the cars paying for it. What if there's a registration fee? I assume that's part of the math.
That now is a huge, it's a huge revenue generator for countries the world over. Registering cars, as you know, in Washington, the state legislature has made it very difficult to raise taxes or to initiate new taxes.
Yes.
And so the state is constantly trying to raise money
without saying it's a tax.
By increasing the fees to register your car. And that's not uncommon. I mean, we have weirdly regressive tax laws here because
most in the country.
Yeah. Half of the state are hee-haws on the right side of the state that hate Seattle.
But the thing is, even the people over here, and once the old bad laws got grandfathered in, even the Seattle people don't want to change the law because they don't want to pay any more taxes.
Well, it's not the people in the city of Seattle. It's the people just north and south who are just modified hee-haws. Like they actually live in the...
Modified hee-haws?
Yeah, they live in the liberal West, but they aren't quite liberal Westerners.
What do you mean? I have a boat dealership.
What the hell are you talking about? And they're constantly, you know, putting these referenda out there, like $50 car tabs. No, if you ask your typical, like, ivory tower liberal Seattleite, they feel honor-bound to say, as many taxes as you can think of, I will pay. Because we're living on stolen land.
Here's an update on the bad employer tax that I've been paying for long-term care, even though I am my only employee and I just didn't read the notice that would have got me out of it in time.
Oh my God, are you really?
Yeah, I'm paying $100 in tax a month for my own long-term disability benefit.
Yeah, one day you'll collect on it and then you'll be glad.
But there is apparently going to be one of these awful suburban referenda to let me opt out of it. Yeah. At which point, I immediately will, and so will everybody else, and the program will collapse.
Yeah, right.
But maybe I should just wait. Maybe I should not opt out. Wait till everybody else does, then it'll collapse.
I think I may have opted out because I don't remember paying $100 a month for my own health care.
You only have to do it if you founded an LLC of which you were the only employee.
I did do that.
Oh.
I did do that, and I think partly at your recommendation. Or it was one of those situations where you were like, well, I'm absolved of this lawsuit. Because of my LLC.
Go after John.
And I was like, no. Wait.
Well, it was a bad move in Washington because now long-term disability.
Well, you know, what's funny is one of the big differences between American states. No, there are so many big differences between American states, and this is not one of the biggest.
Types of barbecue?
No, but a difference between the American states is that it's just such a mixed bag of car licensing rules and regulations. There's no standard at all. And in fact, the first license plate issued by the state of Massachusetts license plate number one.
It was one?
That just says one. that license plate was issued to a man by the name of Frederick Tudor in 1903, and his family still owns it.
They're still tootling around with a number one plate?
They drive a Mercedes station wagon, his descendants, and it has the number one license plate.
Well, I know Washington has a law where certain kinds of, you know, a sufficiently antique license plate, you can get grandfathered in and get special permission to put it on your new car. Whereas if you had just a regular old 1986 license plate, maybe you couldn't get permission.
Not only that, but in Washington State, you can buy an old Washington license plate at a thrift store and register your vintage car.
They pay a fee, yeah.
Pay a fee, and then they will, like, they'll reinstitute this because, you know, you don't pay car tabs on a classic vehicle. And so you can just go buy a Washington plate from the year your vehicle was first registered. You know, you wouldn't put a 1920 license plate on a 1980s car. But
it's probably sad to see that number one just right in the middle of a new plate. Or does he still have the old plate?
No, it's a more recent plate. But that's the thing. A lot of states have rules where the license plate follows the vehicle.
Yes.
And then another large group of states allows you, or rather has rules where the license plate stays with the owner. And I really only learned this because I bought my Suburban, my 79 Suburban, in the state of New Hampshire. And when...
Why did you do that?
Because I have bipolar disorder.
They had a spare Suburban and you didn't.
And I bought this Suburban.
I remember this story. Yeah,
and the guy took the license plate off. And I said, what the hell are you doing? And he was like, well, the license plate belongs to me. And I took it to the New Hampshire DMV. And they said, well, you don't live in New Hampshire. We're not going to give you a license plate. And I said, I'm driving across the country. What am I supposed to do? And they said, put a sign in the back window that says something. Not our problem.
Live free or die.
So I drove all the way across the country with a piece of notebook paper.
Handwritten.
Just like, sorry. Nobody ever pulled me over. But I got to Washington. I have told you this story. And I went to the DMV and they were like, you have no license plate? You have no registration? Oh, because New Hampshire has no registrations.
Wait, it doesn't exist?
The cars
stays with the
past a certain age, have no. You don't have any registration.
It's a libertarian paradise.
It's crazy. Live free or die. And so I go into Washington DMV and they're like, well, without a registration, we have the state troopers get involved. We have to put a hold on the vehicle. It's got 6 years. You have to drive around with some, you know, like a bunch of colored corn on the back of your bumper tied with a piece of pig intestine. And I'm like, this is terrible. They're like, oh yeah, you know, this is just going to be awful. And I'm sitting there at this DMV, it's raining outside and, you know, and tears streaming down my face. Like, come on, I've had such a hard time driving across the country with this dumb truck. And now you're telling me I can't get a license plate? Yeah, sorry. And so I go out, I'm standing in the rain, I look on my phone and I'm like, New Hampshire license plates. And it comes back and it's like, oh, registrations aren't required in New Hampshire. And I walked in back to the DMV and I held up the phone to the woman behind the counter and I said, they're not required. And she went, oh, well, in that case, and immediately printed me out a new registration, like invented one out of whole cloth.
I don't love this process where you can just show somebody a web page.
I was just like, look.
And they'll do their job differently. Because you could have showed her anything. Like,
it says right here on Quora.
It actually says here, Al Gore is a lizard person.
And I walked out like 10 minutes later with two brand new license plates and a brand new registration. I was like, whoa.
The power of the internet.
Holy trippin'. So this is, you know, this has traditionally been an issue, particularly in interstate commerce. But, you know, every state has their own way. And I think a lot of people go to a new state and buy or sell a car. And they're like, wait, why are you taking my license plates?
Well, there's also that crazy Washington law that you need a new plate. Maybe other states have this, that you need a new plate within a month of moving here,
yeah.
Which no one does because, you know, your first 30 days in a new state, you're just going to wait for your tabs to expire. But that's the law.
Yeah, you're supposed to get a new driver's license within a pretty short amount of time.
Good luck. That's why other countries with a stronger federal system are much simpler to live in.
Yeah, hear. Although it's hard to get an abortion in those states.
No. I mean other countries.
Oh, I see. Well, depending on where you live, it can be harder to get an abortion there too.
Yeah, I mean, the crazy patchwork of interstate laws makes everything more difficult, including doctor's visits now.
But pretty quickly, license plates were seen as a way for some people of expressing your individuality. In 1928, Idaho was the first state to put a little graphic on their license plate.
Did they put the potato thing they still have?
They put a potato on the license
plate. To this day, right? Doesn't it still say Famous Potatoes?
Famous Potatoes. But they actually put a picture of a potato. If you can imagine 1928, like, but it's like, oh, we're putting a potato on our license
plate. What if every Idaho plate was just a number of potatoes? Like, instead of issuing you the number 128, they just give you a plate with 128 potatoes on it.
600 potatoes. So then, not to be outdone by Idaho, Pennsylvania is the root of our story. The first state to issue a personalized license plate in 1931.
Where you could choose a word or phrase.
Yeah, where you could say, you know, like, hot mama or whatever, and put it on your Pennsylvania license.
I'm sure in 1930, everybody was picking hot mama.
Hot mama.
They'd be like, oh no, we should get your mother's, we should fix your mother's icebox.
Yeah. Oh no, yeah, your mom is cheap. She's going through menopause.
Are you like me? Were you fascinated by personalized plates as a kid?
I was.
Because they were always out of reach. You'd drive down the freeway and you'd see a few of them and you'd be like, what must life be like?
Wow, like smart MD? How would I ever be so smart and such a good doctor?
My parents used to say that they had a vague idea because they drove like this little blue Pinto and a big black Mercury Zephyr, and they thought, you know, we could get R2-D2 and Vader license plates. And then at the time, you probably could have.
Yeah.
That was like the last year, 1978, you could probably have gotten R2-D2 and Vader license plates, and they did not.
Oh, and now you have no retirement.
Those would have been my great family heirloom. But today, there's so many of them that when you see a good one, you're like, wow, how did that person actually get that one?
Well, it's a game. I mean, there are people on... my own discourse that have a game of like thinking up cool license plates.
There was a game show called Bumper Stumpers.
Wow.
I think it might've been a Canadian import, but it relied upon figuring out the little puns and jokes because you know how sometimes you have to read the aid as an aid or you have to read the letters phonetically instead of the sound they make or.
Yeah. Tracy Jordan famously had a completely incomprehensible one.
I drove by Chillax yesterday, and I was like, how lucky was that Washington State driver to get Chillax? And what year? I guess the thing to do now is to wait for a new coinage on the internet and to immediately get the license plate that says sus or slay or something.
Right.
Before it catches on.
Or, before the DMV realizes that it's a swear word.
Well, that's the other thing. Are you going to talk about that? Like how states determine which ones are legally licit?
There are blue lists. Every state has a different one. And, you know, some states will, Florida is fairly, maybe not lenient.
I'm going to say permissive.
But they do have licenses that other states wouldn't allow. Like Florida will allow you to have sexy ones. Not profane.
Did you ever follow that Twitter account that had like a California apparently must publish their list of what got denied or accepted?
Yeah.
And so they would have these ridiculous like, this one.
Hot mama.
Yeah. This one got denied because hot could mean sexy.
Right.
But this one got allowed because sex could mean, you know, whatever.
Right.
And it would just be insane.
Seven.
Sextuplets. Yeah, exactly. And it would just be insane. But I loved this auto account.
Yeah. Well, when you were growing up, you must have done some road trips across the country in between living in Korea, right?
Yeah, we wouldn't go far.
Did you play California?
It was all I-5.
The game of
I had a notebook when I was 5 years old.
Wow, writing down license plates.
Yeah, I was trying to collect all the states. Yep. And that one, that's very easy because they had, at the time, they were very uniform, right? Today, it could be the, you know, I saw the Wyoming field hockey plate and I saw the Texas Big Bend National Park plate, and I saw the Ohio University of Cincinnati Bearcats plate, and you know, it's a revenue stream. But at the time, it was like green and white.
Yeah,
that's got to be Arkansas, you know, or whatever it was.
Green and white was Washington when I was a kid.
It was. I still associate that, and sometimes you still see them. But I also kept a thing that had every combination of three letters and every combination of three numbers.
Oh, you're such
a nerd. For a brief time, I was like, I don't have AAD yet. There it is.
Whoa.
That's a weird one, right?
That is a weird one. Well, because
but it kept us shut. It kept our mouths shut on road trips.
Yeah, and you're looking at every plate rather than just looking, scanning, for looking colors. For weird ones. But yeah, we drove to California one time, and both my sister and I were collecting plates and
just trying to get all the states.
Yeah, and
provinces,
and got pretty far along. I mean, at the time, we didn't allow Canadians or the residents of Mexico to enter the United States.
If you were a Newfoundland resident,
no chance. Well, they didn't have cars in Newfoundland, Newfoundland. But yeah, it was always a fun thing. And then living in Alaska. Vanity plates were pretty popular up there. Not exceptionally popular. In fact, if you look at the statistics, it kind of goes against what you would expect. The states that have the largest number of vanity plates are all East Coast and Northeast states, like New Hampshire, Delaware.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. And conversely, Texas is the state with the fewest vanity plates, which seems,
yeah,
I would have said Texas would be in the top four.
It's going to be your individualist culture that has, you know, maybe more money than old money manners.
I don't
know. But it's absolutely the opposite, huh?
I don't know. And it does seem like something for a sociological study, because maybe it's a kind of whimsy that is...
Yeah, is it just NPR moms who have the spare time to think up what funny thing they could put on their car?
Maybe, although Washington is not really on the list of states that have too many vanity plates, or not too many, but
are
but
we not a hotbed? Have you ever been tempted to do it? What does it cost here? It's a couple hundred bucks extra.
Yeah, it's not that much. I mean, in no place is it that much, and that's one of the speculations about why, like, Virginia has the most vanity plates. It's like $10. So why not? Why not think up something like Eggman or Man Egg?
I do enjoy eggs. I often have them for breakfast and sometimes in a sandwich for lunch.
Cuckoo-cajube. Am I right?
But, I mean, I've been tempted to do it. I've never actually been close.
What would you have done?
All the good ones are gone.
Yeah.
All
of the good ones are taken.
And the others are gay. My dad got a new car he got like a Ford Explorer that he loved in the 90s. And so one year for his birthday present, I bought him personalized plates, and that I found out what the fee would be, wrote a check, printed out the application form and gave it to him. And it turned out to be a great present because he never did it.
Yeah, right. So it cost you nothing.
It was a perfect present.
Yeah.
But
you got the congratulations when he opened it and was like, yeah.
I feel like you hear about, like back in the day, you would hear about celebrities that had... You know, Buddy Hackett would say whatever Buddy
Wacka
Hackett
Wacka.
You know, yeah, like it would be something appropriate to them.
Yeah.
Like Lawrence Welks would say a one and a two, or Don Ho would say bubbles, or, you know. But I feel like that's the last thing I would want, is for people to look at my car and be like, hey, this says Jeopardy. What's
look
up with
me,
this?
Look at me.
Right?
Yeah. Look up here. Hey, you too.
Especially
hey,
if they too. See you driving it.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Lame. I mean, if your car is chauffeur driven and it says bubbles, or if your car is chauffeur driven but by like a blonde floozy, you drive by and like, oh, it's Bubbles. She's driving her own limo. Weird. But what we're entering a new era.
Okay. Like the age of Aquarius?
Like the age of Aquarius. It's very similar to that. For most of the 20th century, worldwide, vanity plates were about your personal vanity. They often did have, they were on Porsche 911s, and they did said Cool MD.
They were all midlife crises.
Yeah, and Cool MD is not a rapper. It's generally a...
Cool MD probably is a rapper, but...
Usually a short guy with glasses and balding who is a cardiothoracic surgeon.
I'm trying to think what other ones I saw. And it's still used as a signifier for that. Like Better Call Saul, you know.
Right.
There's a series of kind of funny personalized plates and jokes about the kind of suspect people who would buy them.
Right. It's a thing where you take your expensive car and you make sure that people know you don't have taste.
I like the ones that are related to the car, like BMW guy or whatever.
Yeah, right, exactly. 911 Cool Doc.
That's too many letters.
But until recently, the idea of them as a commodity in and of themselves.
How could they be a commodity?
In the sense that.
Are there states where you can transfer?
Well, yes. Increasingly. The idea that you, if you could retain your license plate, you also could sell it. If the state allows you to change registrations in that way.
Okay. So if it's states where you, yeah.
So this is not true in all states, but increasingly true. And the laws are changing, but changing fast.
I should have gone up to Chillax guy. I mean, with a briefcase full of money.
If you had R2-D2 and Vader right now.
Gosh, write your own ticket.
Come on, get out of here.
Imagine going up to that Chillax guy and just doing the roll down your window motion, even though even though windows are now buttons.
Hey, buddy.
And then say, like, I have $30,000 in cash right here, and I'll give it to you right now for this plate. And every second you delay, I'm taking away $1,000.
Well, there was actually a case of a guy who had like a cool license plate. He was a California dude who had the license plate cash. And
first guy to think that cash was something cash. Good.
And for years, you know, according to him, people would pull up next to him in LA and say, "How much? I'll pay you whatever you want." And he kept,
really?
Yeah, and he kept like, "No, you know, it would cost 10 grand."
Why would you want
cash?
I mean, it's true that we all enjoy cash.
Yeah.
But does anyone enjoy it enough to say, "Yeah, my hobby is cash. I would like my car to reflect that."
Yeah, there are those people.
I mean, Johnny Cash, maybe.
Yeah, as we'll see, there are
tennis player Pat Cash.
There are some weird license plates that people have decided are worth money. And cash, I mean, part of the license plate game is kind of like the Twitter handle or Gmail game.
Mm.
If you're...
It shows you got in early.
That's right. If your Twitter handle is your name and not... at John Roderick 27, you know, cool Seattle guy, then yeah, you just, all it symbolizes is, yeah, I knew what this was when it started.
Early adopter.
But if your email handle is at Drill, D-R-I-L, it's like, oh, good job. Like, you know, kind of first week level, even if it's four letters that don't make any sense.
Everybody who has their own first name, that's what you're, yeah. That's what you're into.
At John, at Paul, Gary. At yeah. Gary. Those guys, well, basically, they worked at Twitter, probably.
Yes. Those are not rich celebrities.
Right. But that's true of license plates, too. The only thing is that there's nobody around that was in California at the time that they got license plate number 25. And in fact, there are only 35 two-letter license plates in all of California.
Wait. Are they not issuing them anymore? Oh, I see. Like, you can, as a vanity plate, you can't go buy Versus or Pi or
something. Yeah, right. Like TJ.
You're talking about ones that were just issued by the state, like as their...
No, they were vanity plates. Oh, okay. No state, I don't think, issues like small numerical license.
Like the number one in Massachusetts.
Four. I mean, a lot of places will have one is the governor's car. Two is the lieutenant governor.
Oh, okay.
You know, the low number plates actually have symbolic meaning and status. Then the next, I mean, the governor doesn't get the one on his own personal Volvo. It's his state car.
You know, I just remembered, I think my dad, after saying he would never get a vanity plate, my dad does have his ham radio handle.
That is 100% a vanity plate thing.
Well, because you can, now many states will sell the, this is my ham radio thing.
Yeah.
Because they got specialized plates for that and everything else.
In Alaska, I used to see those all the time because, you know, ham radio guys.
Right.
They basically populated the state of Alaska before ham radios were even invented.
Without ham radio, Alaska would still be empty. Or at least it would be Inuits.
Yeah. People coming over the Arctic ice bridge, which also doesn't exist anymore. So
they got there and they were like, there's no ham radio here either.
Yeah.
We left Siberia because of its lack of ham radio.
We should go back to Japan. Oh, no. The land bridge sank. But what we have now, and so just recently, this year, there was a big news story about how a license plate in Dubai sold for $50 million.
What?
And it was...
I mean, Dubai is normally a place where people spend sensibly, but...
Oh, yeah. That's a, they're,
it's
they're,
famous for it.
It's a place where humility it's a really...
a budget seeker's dream.
People in Dubai are like, how can I just seem like normal people? No, the problem in Dubai is that other than the Bugatti Veyron, there are no $3 million cars. You can only do so much. You can get a Maybach or...
But all your neighbors will have access to the same one.
That's right. And even if you go back and you buy James Bond's DB5 that was used in the movie, what are you going to pay? A couple million dollars.
That's pocket change.
You know, and so in Dubai, there are so many supercars that a supercar itself no longer...
is a car.
Well, it no longer...
If everyone's super, no one is.
Exactly. It's not... The status isn't... You can drive up in a supercar and people just roll their eyes.
Yawn.
Because the rims are dumb or whatever.
Are people doing weird custom matte paint jobs?
And, oh, sure. All that stuff. And ground effects and whatnot. But
even that just shows you paid an extra $20K. Who cares?
Exactly. And it has become now in Dubai the case... that there are certain luxury places, hotels and restaurants and stuff, where as you pull up in your Ferrari F40, they will look at your license plate. And
what's a good plate?
Well, the
what is conveyed?
The license plates that the smaller the number or letters, the smaller the combination, the higher the status.
Oh, it's like having the good area code in New York or something.
Yes, right? Exactly. And this is a completely manufactured status symbol, as are all status symbols.
No, don't say that.
I'm afraid so.
Though you're going to collapse the NFT economy by giving it away.
I'm really sorry about this, but a $50,000 watch does not tell the time any more than a $200 watch or even a $50 watch.
No.
I'm afraid so. Your Mickey Mouse watch, although a piece of trash, tells...
It's vintage.
It isn't really.
It is.
Well, it's from 2015.
It's from the 80s. Seiko hasn't made these in 30 years. Like, this actually is like kind
is
of
that
a...
right?
Like, as weird Mickey watches go, it's kind of a collector's item.
You do not have a ton of that in your life. And so I did not expect...
I'm certainly not a Disney collector because I'm not a 60-year-old gay man.
Right. But how did you... You're telling me that the Disney company, in all of its soaking the world for money, isn't making Mickey Mouse watches?
No, they are. But this design is when they licensed to Seiko for a brief period in the 80s.
Well, there is
so
a
So it's got a kind of a nice gold face that they haven't...
That is pretty.
That they haven't... I think subsequently they were with Olympus or something, but these are the ones I like.
Well, Seikos have a huge, like, aftermarket fanboy.
I had a watch market. Guy on an airline once compliment me and then start taking out his odd watches from his carry-on to show me his weird collector's citizens and whatnot.
I mean, I used to do a podcast with a guy that had...
How are you not a watch guy? I can't believe you're not.
I inherited a couple of nice watches, and I have tried and tried and tried to wear them because men don't have jewelry, and... I tried for a while to wear rings. I tried to
just comfort issue.
But you know, I'm a highly sensitive person, and all that stuff just makes me feel like I'm in handcuffs. Like, get this off me! And so
you normally do the show nude. People don't know this.
Generally, yeah, except for with my crown.
your enormous crown from like an 80s pro wrestler.
But this $15 million. A Dubaian license plate.
And all they're doing is getting a low number?
A low number.
It doesn't even say something cool like Chillax or no. Oil Dude?
This one just said P7. P7.
That's pretty good.
It didn't have any...
It's one of the better letters.
Yeah, it's not like especially... It wasn't symbolic. The guy had not peed seven times that day. His name was not Perovsky, and he had seven kids. P7. And it was... It was kind of understood that...
What did you say? 50 million? 15
million? 15 million.
I would not pay a cent over $10 million.
That's the thing.
For that place.
You don't live in Dubai, where if you go to the nice new restaurant, there are like $40 million cars backed up trying to get in. And the guy that's running the valet parking is like, hey, P7, you know, you're up next.
You have to feel bad for the super rich because they're constantly having to invent new, you know, they're grating gold leaf into their burger.
Yeah.
Just so that they can say, I went to the restaurant that grates gold leaf into the burger, and it doesn't taste like anything, but
yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's got to distinguish them from the other mega billionaires.
There are only so many truffles, and you know, you can have them dug up by a pig in France and have it turned into a mousse and put on top of your hot dog. But if you can say that your truffle was harvested by Condoleezza Rice,
a human being dressed as a pig.
Hey, Condoleezza, go get these truffles, and we're going to charge twice as much for them. There are people that would pay it, right?
What do you think Condi charges for that? I mean,
she's busy.
She'll probably give a commencement address for, let's say, 100K, maybe less.
Yeah. Think about the FU price that it costs to get me to play your birthday party. And then
multiply it by.
Think if I were Condoleezza Rice and playing your birthday party meant collecting truffles.
She plays piano. I bet she would come play lounge piano for your birthday
party. I bet she would. I bet that would be cheaper than getting her to talk at your commencement speech, just because it would be a novel thing. Like, hey, Condi, play my wedding.
She'd enjoy it more.
If you had the right.
It probably cost
hawkish take on,
and it may have cost. She may have been able to charge more when the war on terror was going better.
Yeah, right. But there's a whole universe of conservatives now who long for sunnier climes back when it was just dum-dums starting wars, and not like super dumbs running the country.
So they're nostalgic.
Yeah, it's all the people that used to fund small wars in Central America with their oil dollars, who are like, oh, whatever happened to America?
Let me ask you this about the personalized plates. Do I vaguely remember that this started in East Asia where there were actually lucky numbers?
Yes.
Are you going to talk about that?
Yes.
Because because 8 is so good?
That is true. And what has happened is that has transferred to the United States because of the Chinese immigrants to this country who often are wealthy. And in fact,
because numerology is much more common culturally there.
And 8 means wealth in Chinese.
And so superstition-wise, people will even make sure they, you know, throw a party, try to graduate, start a business on propitious days, because the numbers and the dates, and I guess this will hold for phone numbers and car plates and everything.
Mothers will refuse to have birth until
induced
the 8th.
Delivery.
Yeah, they're just like, it's the 7th. No.
Imagine you're in an OBGYN ward.
Yeah. Keep it in. It's 11:40.
Nobody's coming. And then at midnight, like 30 ambulances show up.
Well, and there is within Chinese culture a certain willingness to scooch the rules a little bit in order to get a good number. Like, I think in the hospitals, they actually will hold off the birth certificate.
They'll wink at
a little bit.
If you were in labor on the 8th, even if you give birth at the next day at 4 a.m.
And I'm sure within, you know, in segments of the culture where corruption is possible, I'm sure there's a ton of that. Like, can we just, you know.
I know he was born on the 22nd, but can we change that by 2 full weeks? Because maybe you can if you write a big enough check.
Yeah, that's exactly.
But then that just devalues the thing that if everybody's born on the 8th, nobody is.
Well, it has to be a big enough check, and then it's a status symbol. Right? Like you could.
I'll give you $8.
I'm sure.
It's the luckiest number of dollars.
You could probably go in and say, I would like the birth certificate to say that my son was born on the 32nd of May, but I will pay you $10 million.
This is totally unrelated, but this morning I realized for the first time that I had been dating all our omnibus entries as 2022.
Oh my God. I thought you were going to say that you had been dating some young girl.
I have.
Oh.
She's 8. Okay. No.
Oh.
That would be I only date 88-year-olds for the luck.
Well, and because
it's like Harold and Maude.
They're the ones who are really impressed.
And they're the ones who know who I am.
Are you Ken Jennings?
They're the youngest people who recognize me. No, for the last months, I've been saying that it's 2022 in our omnibus spreadsheet.
Oh, except.
And I didn't realize this morning until I tried to put on a show for February 29th, which was last week's show. And it would not let me do February 29th, 2022. And I could not figure out what was wrong with Excel. Until I realized there was no February 29th in 2022. Thank you, Excel.
Hey, well done, Excel.
But you're saying that these 8 license plates that were 8 rich, are those still collector's items now, not just in Asia, but in U.S. states as well?
Yes. So where we are now, this has really been exacerbated by this story out of Dubai, because it was a total Mashable, BuzzFeed, viral story that went around for a couple of days. And it was great because it was accompanied by tons and tons of photos of Lamborghinis in Dubai and guys in jalabs. Young guys in jalab standing around going like, hey, how low is your license number?
I'm the 23rd son, but I still get one of these.
And the thing is, this has been going on there for a couple of decades. In 2008, someone paid $14.2 million, which in 2008 dollars is actually more than the $15 million for P7.
Yeah, thanks, Joe Brandon.
And this was in Abu Dhabi, but that was for license plate number one. Abu Dhabi number one.
The original
Abu
Dhabi plate.
Which was $14.2 million. Now, I don't think in Dubai you can actually get number one. I think it's owned by, it's obviously owned by somebody, but I think it's owned by a real hot dog.
The Emir or something.
Yeah, and he would never, ever let it go. But this really kind of blew up this idea that license plate numbers, not just ones that said Cool Dad, or best MD, best dentist.
Because they're not just lifestyle accoutrement now. They really are flashing a wad of bills.
They're
caste system status.
Exactly. It is part of, the most eloquent symbol of how our culture is bankrupt.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really.
I want something meaningless and I'll pay eight figures for it.
This license, and the thing is, it's not like you could park a car on the street that had license plate number one. It'd be stolen in 2 seconds.
There wasn't enough income inequality before to support this, actually. People, even the very rich, wanted to spend their money on things that were nice and made life better.
But presumably, whoever
non-arbitrary luxuries. Remember when there were non-arbitrary luxuries? Weren't those great?
Whoever it was that had $15 million to spend presumably already had solid gold toilets, right? That they had absolutely run out of. They were drinking monkey adrenal gland shakes.
But nobody can see you do that, whereas everybody can see how low your plate number is or how many eights it has in it.
Well, and there aren't that many places to drive in the United Arab Emirates, right? So you're on a limited number of roads.
Like there's exactly one road between each emirate.
Yeah. And also, driving those supercars in that kind of dry, sandy environment, they've got to be cleaning their engine filters like every 3 days. Those are terrible environments for cars.
Well, I'm sure all those people are spending a big chunk of the year in London or Lake Como. Do they get nice numbers on their overseas cars?
Well, so this is now increasingly a thing globally. The number of expensive license plates in the UAE, if you had a list of the 50 most expensive license plates, the bottom 40 are going to be really clogged with license plates from Dubai and Abu Dhabi, places where this is a cultural mainstay. Everybody there are a lot of luxury cars. There's a lot of
it only works if other people know it's a status symbol.
Exactly. And so there are a lot that are, for sale for $5 million, $1.2 million. I mean, $1 million is not considered crazy to spend on a license plate if you're super rich.
It is by me, I will say.
Yeah. Okay. Me too. But we are not 28 years old.
We're not Emirati hotties.
And worth like $1 billion. But it's now spreading. It is a modern phenomenon spreading around the world. In California, there are several of these multi-million dollar license plates. And in countries around the world.
Are you seeing listings? Like, are there sites that will tell you what's for sale?
Well, there are some license plate selling sites. And what's hilarious is there always were, because in the US and presumably other places, there's a segment of old men who have train sets and like collecting old license plates.
Oh, yeah. Your garage is full of.
Yeah.
I still have a few, nailed up in my garage. Like, like my grandfather before me.
And, you know, there are all those American theme restaurants where it's like, hey, look at all the license plates. And there are artists that sell stuff at county fairs. Like, it's a mailbox made out of license plates.
Yep.
So there are license plate sales.
There's always been a resale market.
Yeah.
But not for this.
But for $15, or, you know, this is a rare one because it's made out of enamel and it's worth $27. And I was going to buy a set of old Washington plates to put on my truck. And I feel like the ones I saw that I liked, because there's that element of numerology, which is not based on any kind of quack theory, but just like, I like those numbers. Yeah, like that's a cool looking plate. And the ones that I saw that were cool looking, apparently other people agreed, and they were more than I was going to spend.
Like, you still see it today in Washington because we've gone to three letters, four numbers.
Yeah.
Which means sometimes you'll see a funny combination. Like, yeah. You'll just see, like, you know, Guy 1000. Yeah. You'll be like, hey, check it out.
Hey, it's Guy 1000.
I don't know who the girl was, but this was Guy 1000. Like, lucky him.
Well, you know, part of my license plate is the numerical designation of a Boeing aircraft. Mm. And so it's easy for me to remember. Do you know your license plate by heart?
I know the letters, and I'm pretty sure I don't. I know the letters in the first two numbers.
Because it says Ken 1174?
Yeah, Ken 0001. You know, I did walk by car 0001 the other day. No, I walked by car 0002 the other day and took a picture and put it on social media, and somebody was like, I know where car 0001 is, and he sent me a picture. Like, this is always parked here, because we just got to see a blank, like, last year in our
oh, right.
Washington State number registration issuing system. So, but I think it would be great to have car 0001.
It would.
Does Washington allow for the sale of plates? Yes, right?
Well, I think Washington is traditionally a state that the plate follows the vehicle. But because of this wrinkle of, you have a month if you want to take your plate with you.
It's a revenue
that you could sale. Also sell that plate.
But you'd have to be.
I mean, there are, some of it is a little fudgy, right?
I could buy the car just to get the plate.
I think that I think that there aren't rules against it in a lot of places where there aren't rules specifically permitting it. Mm. And if you're clever, you can work around it. And this is now sort of a global phenomenon. And speaking of the Chinese numerical lucky number stuff, in Australia, confusing. So there's the big porn guy in Australia is a Chinese multimillionaire.
I didn't know Australia had a big porn guy.
Well, sure, everybody's got a big porn guy.
Do we? Who's our big porn guy? Larry Flint?
Well, no, I don't think he's the big porn guy anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I think the big porn guy is probably some 28-year-old that started, you know, milfhotties.com and is worth $1 billion, and none of us have ever heard of him.
But in Australia, they know who he is, and they.
Yeah.
He's like the Grand Marshal of parades.
Yeah, he's still in the newspapers, whereas all of our, I mean, I'm sure if you and I were collecting NFT monkeys, we would probably know Big Porn Guy, because he is like the number three on Coinbase, right? But we're not in that universe. But he confusingly got license plate number 4 from New South Wales, 4 being an extremely unlucky number.
4 is the worst number. It sounds like death.
And so nobody can quite figure out why this sex, I guess he was a sex toys manufacturer. So he's like, not maybe the big porn guy, but the big dildo guy, which is a great, I mean, he should have gotten that on his license plate.
Everybody with personalized plates is kind of the big dildo guy.
Number one dildo. He got number 4. And I think it's just like a double, he's flipping the double bird at everybody.
I'll get the worst number.
Yeah. This literally says death and also buy my dildos. I mean, it got him in the newspapers. In Hong Kong, the license plate that just has the letter V on it,
okay,
sold for almost $2 million.
Is that good, V?
I don't know. I don't know what V means in Hong Kong.
It means the aliens are coming and they're eating gerbils.
Maybe they're a copywriter and the V means insert word into the sentence underneath.
Is the idea just that any single letter would be good, or do you think V was particularly propitious?
But I mean, V is a cool looking letter.
You know, you're mentioning kind of the edgelord appeal of this. Like, Elon Musk literally changed the name of his website to a single letter, tanking the value of it because he owned a one letter domain and thought that was cool.
Yeah. Like, it's not cool.
That's exactly the kind of guy who thinks that's cool.
Yeah. It's super dumb, but there it is. And I mean, $2 million for the letter V, it's got to be worth more than the car. And that's what's crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of these, the story has to be, I have a rich guy car, but $2 million into the license plate, like it's twice as much as I paid for
the car. The car is just a delivery system for the license plate now. And do you think they have to keep the plate in mint condition, or is it just the owning the number? You can always go get a brand new near mint one from the DMV. So,
well, like you said, most of these people are probably in Lake Cuomo for most of the time, yeah. And they're not like off-roading.
It doesn't get driven a lot.
Yeah. In UK, in the UK, there's a license plate, and it's on a Ferrari 250 short wheelbase, like a hot car.
Okay.
That actually was owned by Eric Clapton at one time, and the license plate just says 25 space O, because the UK, the way the license plate numbers are spaced.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't just have 250 because the center is always a dash or a empty space. So 25/O or dot, not 0O, nothing O. $730,000 to go with it. But, you know, if you have a Ferrari 250 SWB, maybe that's, I mean, the fact that the car was owned by Eric Clapton, I mean, I think
that's got to be.
It added, yeah, this extra panache. In Delaware, license plate number 11 has sold.
Can you imagine how little you would pay for Delaware license plate 11?
Well, except that in Delaware, you can bequeath your license plate, like in Massachusetts. It becomes a family license plate.
The DuPonts own all the good plates.
That's exactly right. So, you know, I'm sure it is some DuPont heir. $675,000.
Jeez.
In Texas, a 12th man. Sold for over $100,000.
Because that's Longhorns,
it's
right?
Football,
I think.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Seahawks use it now, but it makes UT fans mad because they think we stole it from them, right. And I think we kind of did.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, it's Texas A&M. I'm going to get so many letters.
Rah.
It's A&M, not UT that has
They're already retracting their letters because you got to it in time.
Please, please don't get mad.
California only started allowing the transfer of license plates in 2017. And in that time, there are a lot of Californians, like the guy who had cash, the guy that had the license plate cash, he got it in 1970. He's been driving around for 53, 54 years.
Yeah, because nobody carries cash anymore.
He's and who knows what he's driving, some, you know, right. Like some MG. No, he's probably got a hot car. But that license plate was just like, a vanity plate. But in 2017, it suddenly became something he could sell.
A commodity.
And so
something better than vanity.
Recently, but here's the problem. And that is that there are a lot of cool license plates on sale right now.
Oh, there's a glut now?
But have not actually sold for the amount that they're on sale for. Like in New York, the most expensive license plate in New York is currently, in New York State, is currently a license plate that says New York.
which is the same thing the plate already says, right?
But it says New York. No, our amps go to 11. it's on sale for $20 million.
Whoa.
In the UK, there's a license plate that says F1, which is, you know, people there love Formula One.
Formula One.
Also $20 million.
But I think these are never going to sell for that, right? This is like, I'm a, you know, buy my house today. If you give me $5 million, you can have my $300,000 house.
The most expensive license plate for sale in California is 888. So, over $25 million.
Somebody thinks they can get that from dumb Chinese money, and maybe they can.
Well, and so we're about to get there. The second most expensive plate is a California plate that just says MM. And it's for sale for $24 million.
They're hoping to find an ancient Roman who really misses the year 2000?
Well,
what does MM mean?
Remember, there are 35 million vehicles in California and only 35 that have two letters.
But what does MM even mean?
Well, maybe your name is Mickey Mouse. Maybe your name is Marilyn Monroe. Maybe your name is
Maybe you like maybe you like millimeters.
Maybe you like millimeters. That's right. Maybe you're like a pro pro metric system.
I mean, many of these cars make me think of the driver has a small penis. But if the license plate said millimeters, boy, I would really be convinced.
What if it said? What if it stands for much more? I paid much more for this plate.
Much money.
But here's the thing about MM.
Okay.
MM is also being sold as an NFT.
But you get the plate and the NFT of the plate?
Yes.
What is that even? Is the state of California getting into the business of making NFTs of the plates, or is this some third party?
The California is getting into the business of selling NFTs.
Of license plates.
Of the licensing of your car.
Genius.
So that instead of paying for the your licensing, you're buying an NFT of your registration of the motor vehicle.
I don't want to predict the future, but I'm going to say that the state of California will very quickly be getting out of this business.
Well, so this whole thing is a new, like the state of Vermont not very long ago experimented with maybe when you buy and sell property in Vermont, you're actually buying and selling an NFT of that property.
Of the lot?
Of the lot. Or of the house. You're just, I so seldom see this face that you are making right now.
I'm just sickened.
You are really loving this.
Oh my gosh.
California is right now partnering with a NFT broker and exploring this idea that NFTs are the way.
All these states are going to end up spending more money on these initiatives than they ever brought in, and it will just be like when El Salvador decided to give everybody a Bitcoin purse.
Well, and all of the NFT nerds are super psyched about this because it's potentially the first example of an NFT being actually about a thing.
It's imprimatur of authority,
Yeah, it's no longer just a picture of an ape.
But wasn't the whole thing that that's what's great about it, is it's just a picture of an ape?
But it's now a thing that you can use as basically a currency. I mean, it's not just that you're collecting an ape, it's that you actually...
But here's the thing, if I buy land in Vermont, that's already a commodity.
Yes.
I don't own any, but I could.
But the registration...
And I would swim in the lake. I wouldn't really care if I also had a version of it in cyberspace.
Right.
Because you can't swim in the lake in cyberspace.
But the thing is, you're not living in cyberspace the way the future will live in cyberspace.
My avatar will have the nicest place in Vermont. Maybe there's some idea that it's the ground floor too. Like someday you'll be bragging. In 100 years, it'll be like, I bought the first Vermont property in the metaverse.
That's right. Nobody in Dubai, when they first were issued P7, ever thought it would be worth $15 million. And so in California, the person that has MM is like, look, man, get in on the ground floor. This thing's worth $25 million. Because you get all, because there's actually, they put on the back of the license plate a QR code.
Oh, they do.
And if you buy the license plate, you also scan the QR code, presumably with your $200 iPhone.
I just want Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters or what's the Back to the Future one? Out of Time.
Out of Time.
That's all I want. I'm a simple Gen Xer.
Pretty sure somebody's got those already. You'll have to come, but maybe millimeter.
I'll move to a bad state. I don't need to have it in a good state.
As you say, because a license plate seems to be an attempt to make people think you have a big penis, to have a license plate that says millimeter might be working against you.
I have to agree. And that concludes Vanity Plates, entry 1383.EC1208, certificate number 37808. Ooh, two eights.
Whoa, hey.
Both of these ended with 08.
How fortuitous.
How fortuitous. In the omnibus, futurelings, we want to know what vanity plates, they say that anymore? Personalized plates?
Something.
We weren't sure what to call this show. We want to know what personalized plates you covet, you drive. Send us plates from your garage. John will make a mailbox of them or maybe start a theme restaurant. Haven't you always dreamed of doing that, opening like a TGI Fridays?
You know what? I wanted to open a restaurant. I still think this is a great idea. Picnic tables inside, kind of like the old days, right? There used to be always in Seattle a cafe. Place with picnic tables. But all it sells is soup and macaroni and cheese. So behind the counter, there's like seven vats. There's always a stew. There's always a vegetable soup. There's always lentils.
It just looks like an airline lounge.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I had this idea before then, split pea and then a big thing of macaroni and cheese, and they're always just sort of burbling, and you come in with your tray, and
is it all you can eat?
Well, no.
Sorry. Easy.
Hey, look, man, I'm in this business to make money.
You're looking at me like I'm trying to rob your soup business.
Look, I'm not saying that this is some kind of, benefit to society. This is a for-pay operation. But how simple, right? There's enough soups, and maybe there's one that's like a rotating soup, like a pumpkin soup or a potato soup. And it's just for people that want soup. And it's not like the guy in Seinfeld with the soup. This is just soup. Maybe it's called just soup.
Maybe it's not. What's the opposite of a Nazi?
Like a beatnik.
Soup beatnik. We're super generous with our soup. You can order any way you want.
It super generous or super good. I mean, it writes itself, right? But then you come in, you get a big bowl of soup, and then you sit down at a picnic table, and it's a community. It's a community of soup-loving people. I would be in there three times a week. I mean, it's basically a ramen restaurant, except without all the...
Except the soup's not good.
No, the soup would be amazing.
But Asia has better soup than us.
So ramen is delicious soup, but it's not very good for you.
That's true.
And these would be very healthy, hearty soups.
15-bean soup.
There'd be a 15-bean soup. There'd be... I mean, everybody wants goulash. Like every day, I think, where do I get goulash?
I have never heard a sentence I disagreed with quicker than everybody wants goulash.
You don't want goulash?
I would modify that statement to say that a very tiny percentage of people want goulash.
Oh, come on. That can't be true. You cannot believe that.
Let us know. We want to hear scientifically. How many of you want goulash right now? Send your votes yes or no to...
Well, this will be a Futurelings thing where somebody will put up a poll. Who wants goulash? Who wants goulash right now? And who doesn't want goulash now, or who doesn't want goulash
ever? It's never scientific on Facebook, because I think on Facebook you can just propose your own write-in vote.
Oh, yeah.
So and so it starts answers. Out like yes, no, and then it's like no, but it's because I'm allergic to paprika. Look, you could have just put no.
I want goulash, but only on alternate Wednesdays.
Goulash is bigger than you think. yeah, we want to see the results of that. Email
goulash.
You're still talking about goulash.
I'm just
trying to get out of this show. There's nothing against. I have nothing against goulash, but that doesn't mean I actively want it. I haven't eaten all day, and I don't know how eager I am to eat goulash.
If I gave you a big bowl of goulash, you're saying you'd be like, yeah, you are saying that.
I just remembered we're having people over for dinner, and Mindy said we are having soup. Do you think we're having goulash?
I'll write her right now and say, look, if you haven't made it yet, get on the goulash train.
I'm texting her now. What kind of soup do you think?
She's going to say 15 bean, I swear to you.
Dinner is.
15 bean.
We don't have that kind of money. 15. We're having like 6 or 7 bean tops. This is not Dubai.
No, I know her. She's making some fancy Thai soup that's got coconut milk and that no normal person could ever make. She's like, I just whipped this up, some fantastic thing.
She's leaving me on red.
Oh.
She doesn't want me to know what kind of.
No dots?
Not even dots.
Oh, come on.
Oh, okay. There's two. Beef stew and a veggie soup.
Beef stew. That would have been one. Beef stew and veggie would have been two of the seven soups at my soup restaurant. Do you think, always. Beef stew always, veggie always.
Like, there's going to be rotating soups, but you never not have.
Yeah.
And mac and cheese, apparently, which to you is a soup.
It's not, but it'd be the one thing that, like, then there's also mac and cheese.
Anything you can put in a crock pot.
Yeah, it's basically in a crock pot. But, like, who doesn't want beef stew? At least one. There'd be a French onion. There's so many soups. 15 bean.
There are a lot of soups. Baby lima bean.
It used to be you could go into a restaurant in the Midwest before chain restaurants took over, and they would actually have a turkey and a ham. And if you ordered a ham sandwich or a turkey sandwich, they would carve it from either a large turkey or a ham.
Pig.
And put it on bread that they probably made that morning. And this was very common. Every little Midwestern small town had this. I remember traveling and just being like, every town had its own signature sandwich. And then it all got replaced with Denny's. And then...
this used to be a proper country.
You know what? And another thing. We used to tie onions to our belt.
I think I was trying to... I think everybody wants goulash as a real Abe Simpson take, too. I think I've been trying to say this for a while, but send your license plates and your soup takes and your goulash vote to theomnibusproject@gmail.com because we're not on social media.
How many personalized license plates do you think we'll see from the future links?
I bet a lot. But they won't want to send their picture because then it's like doxing if you know somebody's plates, right?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like that's not true. That's a bunch of shim sham. I think you can put your plates up and nobody's going to. What are they going to do?
What would I do?
Steal your NFTs? Come to your house?
Modify my plates to look like theirs and do crimes? I guess I could.
It's a thing.
But it seems like a lot of work.
It started with. I mean, if you are taking a picture of somebody doing a driving crime, then like look at this jerk.
Then do they blur the plates?
You should, because that's lame. Because you know maybe somebody who doesn't get the joke is going to harass them, send them a bunch of pizzas to their house.
That doesn't seem like a harassment.
But if you're just like, I live in Indiana and I have E equals MC squared, like, what's going to happen? I guess they can reverse get your home address?
I doubt it. Yeah. Look, we can promise you no repercussions, legal or social, if you tell us your cool personalized plates. So please send them to us. You can also take them off your car or take your neighbor's plates off his car and send them to P.O. Box 55744, Shoreline, Washington, 98155.
Ken has already said he'll move to your state if he gets a cool enough plate.
Yeah, I will move to your state. And like your state can be bad if the plate is good.
Mm-hmm.
If the state is good, the plate can be kind of dumb, honestly. Like what's a food I kind of like? Goulash.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I could get goulash, that's not a great plate, but you know, if it's someplace awesome to live,
goulash.
Like, what's an awesome place to live?
Santa Barbara.
Vermont.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than New Hampshire.
You know the states that try to really hard sell you on the plate? Like vacation land or whatever.
Yeah.
Land of natural state. Those are the states that like maybe are not that great because otherwise they wouldn't have to work so hard.
Well, you know? Because nobody wants their license plate to say 110% humidity. 110% humidity on the top of the plate and at the bottom, and 40 degrees below zero in the winter.
Utah used to say the greatest snow on earth, but don't skiers already know that Utah has pretty good snow?
I think they do. Did you know that Wyoming and Utah are the two states most likely to have 3+ cars per household?
Interesting.
So Wyoming has...
Cheap land where you can build a big garage.
Or you can have your whole yard strewn with cars and there's no real estate covenants. But also, Wyoming is the place where you need a car the most because there's no like walkable.
I live in the walkable part of Laramie.
Yeah, like Casper and Laramie have like four blocks where you can walk places, but everyone else has to drive. So Utah and Wyoming, the two states with the most cars per capita.
Interesting.
Is it though?
Well, they probably also have the most kids per capita.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, right? Sure. I mean, nothing to do there but do some boning.
That's why.
That should be on the Wyoming so license plate.
That's what it says. You drive across the state line and it says, let the boning begin. No, I'm just thinking that the more rural your state is, the more likely you are to have maybe grown kids living at home?
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
Right. Spinster aunts.
Because here's the thing. Like, we might become a 3-car household, and it's because I'm tired of my kids driving my damn car. I don't want to own 3 cars on our little Seattle cul-de-sac.
There's no place to park as it is.
There's no place to park them.
But wait a minute. You should be kicking your kids out of the house, except they're Gen Z.
Well, I still have one that's still in high school.
Right.
But, you know, even my high school kids are like, why can't we drive? When they were in high school.
Yeah.
And my answer is because I don't want to own 3 cars, but also I don't want them in my car. So
right. They
kind of have me checkmated.
And it's not like the old days where you could say, get a scooter or a motorcycle, because that would be irresponsible. Nobody wants to put their
We actually told Dylan, hey, we'll just get you a Vespa.
Yeah.
And he was like, a Vespa? That's not cool.
But get him a 60s Vespa, which is very cool.
I feel like now he's come around.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Lambretta.
He saw Roman Holiday or something, and exactly. Now he's like... oh yeah, I think I do want a Vespa. And we're like, too late.
Oh, now you won't get him one.
Vespa ships out. He moved out. It doesn't do us any good.
He could get his own Vespa.
Get your own damn Vespa.
You know, I had a Vespa all through my youth.
When I was a kid, you couldn't even get a Vespa.
Really?
You probably.
Actually, they did stop selling Vespas in the United States before you were old enough to drive.
For safety reasons?
No, just nobody was buying them. And then, you know, it's only when...
Same reason there's no goulash restaurants.
It's only when the plastic Vespas came that people were like, hey, you know what? Those are actually pretty cool.
Find other futurelings complaining about this or similar topics.
They're probably complaining about this outro.
Yeah. When will it end? You know, I just realized I get to go home as soon as this outro ends. Why are we still doing it?
Wait, are we not doing any ads? Usually we have 10 stupid ads to record. No, we love our advertisers. Thank you.
Nothing we love better than recording them, just like there's nothing you like better than not skipping them. And the best way to support this show, of course, is to donate us your $25 million
NFT license
personalized plate combination. Does anybody have Omnibus? Send us your Omnibus plates. Which states are? Do states have databases where you can look up what's taken and what's not?
Yes.
I think they do now.
Yes.
Washington State.
Does somebody have Cool Ken already?
Yeah, me. Use these tools to help you find personalized plates.
Put in Cool Ken and let's see what it comes up with.
I don't even think you can do it online. Oh, check to see if your plate is available. Here we go.
What do you mean, can't do it online?
Cool Ken, Washington plate.
Cool Ken, Washington.
Congratulations. Cool Ken is available right now. Well, not for long.
What? If you don't get it, then all of this has been for naught.
Omnibus is available.
In Washington.
So which of us is going to buy the Omnibus mobile?
Maybe I should get Cool Ken and you should get Omnibus. I almost wore an Omnibus t-shirt today to the gym because I go to the gym after the show.
Gym Dad.
But instead I wore Devo.
Gym Dad is available. Bean Dad.
Oh, put Bean Dad
is available.
Whoa. If you got Cool Ken and I got Bean Dad, would that be lame or rad? I mean, I already get yelled at enough just for having a bad haircut. I don't want to drive around with Bean Dad.
Well, plus every time I, every time I almost hit somebody U-turning or something, they're going to be like, hey, you know who that was?
Well, the thing is, I mean, how often do people come up to you and say, you look just like Ken Jennings, as opposed to people that say, hey, are you Ken Jennings?
The other day I was at the Lake City Fred Meyer and the cashier kept talking about how much I looked like him, but refused to believe that Ken Jennings would be at the Lake City Fred Meyer, which is a pretty good bet, honestly.
Yeah, but didn't you then pull out your credit card to show her the...
I paid and she didn't even notice. She was still talking about how, well, that guy would never come to the Lake City Fred Meyer. And I was like,
my license actually says Ken Jennings on it.
Yours does?
Yeah, well, because
that would be crazy.
It's an NFT.
Cost you $25 million, but you now own my Visa card. No!
I hope that somebody in Washington gets Omnibus and their spouse gets Bean Dad and, bless you.
I'm still not going to do this, actually. 74 games.
How much does it cost?
74 games is available. Jeopardy without the O is available.
But Jeopardy with the properly spelled?
That's too many letters.
Oh, too many letters.
I think, right? Isn't seven? Jeopardy without the A is available. Jep with an exclamation point. Oh, you can't get an exclamation point. That's weird. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you don't want somebody to be like, yeah, I got run over by Cool Dad. And they're going to be like, well, did it have an exclamation point? I don't remember.
Hot moms. Because hot moms is very different than hot mom.
Yeah, hot moms are in your area.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, hot moms is not available either because somebody else already has this plate or... It has been identified as inappropriate or offensive.
Blue list, yeah.
Poop is not available.
No.
It has been identified as inappropriate or offensive. This whole show should have just been me doing this.
Yeah, I mean, we're already at 122. We could make this the longest episode.
Okay, let's do a full hour of me trying random seven-letter words.
What about shiznit?
What's New York Times spelling bee today? No, we invite you to do this on your own time because it's fun.
It is fun.
And support Omnibus on Patreon.
Support Omnibus first by seeing if Omnibus is available in your state and then getting it.
You can get the Patreon license plate in Washington, but instead you should take those funds and donate them to the Omnibus Project. Keep it going strong.
Yes. Futurelings, from our vantage point in your distant past, we still largely expressed our wealth and exclusivity by other means than paying exorbitant fees for license plates. We had still Mickey Mouse watches. Some of us wore crew neck sweaters from L.L. Bean that were not expensive exactly, but still convey a sort of smart set casualness.
Possibly ones that are not available anymore.
That's exactly right.
And conveys, I bought an L.L. Bean sweater from the 90s.
Yes, I was wearing a shawl collar Eddie Bauer sweater the other day, made in the USA.
Say shawl collar?
Shawl. It's a shawl collar.
Oh, shawl collar.
Yeah, a collar that looks like a shawl.
How could a collar look like a shawl?
Well, it's a shawl collar. It's a kind of collar that you find in old tuxedo
Why are we on a Seinfeld bit? It's a shawl collar, Jerry.
What's a shawl
it's
collar?
It's a shawl and a collar. Jerry, she had a shawl collar. Oh, I see what you're talking
about. Yeah, it's a shawl collar.
I didn't know what that was called, but now I do.
And it had, you know, elbow patches, of course, but it was, you know, made in the USA. Well, not anybody's going to notice that walking around, but I knew it.
And it made you, did it put a little spring in your step?
Well, it did, because I was at University Village, where everybody's paying too much for sweaters from Madewell and J. Crew and stuff. And
Bonobos.
I was like, you can't get one of these. Yeah.
At any price.
Yeah, go into J. Crew, spend whatever you got, but you're never going to get one like this. Also, it's chocolate brown. The coolest of all colors.
Yeah, everybody should wear more chocolate brown all the time.
So, Futurelings, at some point in your distant past, we still spent money on things that supposedly held some value. Oh, I don't know if you saw.
We almost got out.
But yesterday, I was at this cool vintage store in Pioneer Square, which didn't used to have very many. Well,
I didn't know it had any.
A long time ago, it had a lot. And then there was a period where, no, there weren't any. And now there are some cool ones. And I found a pair of Wesco pole climbers.
Is that good?
So good. They're like that. You couldn't get those boots now for less than $900. And these were like, oh, gorgeous. And I have no reason, none whatsoever, and I know this, to own a pair of Wesco pole climbers. I haven't climbed a pole in a long time.
Did they know they were $900 boots?
So they didn't have a price on them. And I said, hey, how much do you want for these? And the guy said, it's going to be at least $150. And I said, And I walked around a little bit. I was like, $150? That's a lot to pay for a pair of boots that I don't need. But also couldn't get for...
Do you ever think, I'll immediately resell these for $500? That's never you. Okay.
So I put them on and they fit like a glove. And I was like, and I've been coveting these boots for 2 decades. I know what they're worth. And so I go back up to the counter with the boots and I say, $150? And he's looking at his phone and I know what he's doing. And he says, I can't let these go for less than $250. And I said, well, I'm priced out. And he said, well, let's settle on $200. And I said, no. And I said, you have to decide whether a pair of size 12 and a half pole climbers.
Is that your size?
Yeah. Are going to sell in the next month to some other ape man who comes in here, or whether you'd rather have $150. And we stood there, and we're both about the same age, both old school Seattleites. And he's like, because he knows that there is a market for these, but I'd make a compelling case. And it was, you know, closing time. And he's like, all right, $150. And I immediately felt dumb because I had just agreed to buy these boots that I shouldn't have bought.
You're like, yay, I just got $150 poorer.
Darn. But I brought them home. I worked on them for a while, put boot oil on them, and now they just gleam. They're beautiful. Even if I never wear them, I'm just going to put them on a pedestal in the entryway of my house and just be like, look at these.
Here's an idea. State a symbol. Instead of personalized plates on your car, just something fancy in the back seat.
Oh, just a pair of boots.
Somebody looks in and they're like, those are $900 boots in the back seat.
They're like, yeah, that's right.
That's right. I just tossed them in there.
I have them in there because you never know.
You never know. You might have to climb a pole.
You might have to climb a pole. You need to always keep that in mind.
I mean, something's really gone wrong with your life if you have to unexpectedly climb a pole. And there's probably dogs or bears involved, right?
If you have enough time to lace up these like 70 eyelet boots, you're somewhere in between, right? I need to climb this pole, but probably not being chased by a bear. You know what it is? It's like, oh, there's a bag of money at the top of the pole.
I have all day to plan this.
And then everybody else is like, it's a greased pole, so they're like sliding, and then you're the one guy that's got pole climber boots. You're like, step aside, fools.
It's a very weird Squid Game episode.
Up the pole I go. You know, I bet you was now this $150 pair of boots was a good investment.
As long as there's more than $150 at the top of the pole.
If it's a bag of money.
What if you get up there and it's 149 ones?
Oh, what a bad joke. But then you get a free pair of boots.
Free boots. Boots are paid for. I can't remember where you were, but you were almost at the end of this show.
We hope and pray that the catastrophe of this show may come. But if the worst comes soon, this recording, like all the recordings, may have been our final word. But if Providence allows, we wish you many goods and cheese and hope to be back with you soon for another entry in the Omnibus.